Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then. So last time, our first interview with Kenny Marifi Winslow, we got Maps Maponyane to send through a voice note introducing this phenomenal individual to us before we had an incredible chat with her. She's a published fashion scholar and a writer and so many of these things, and the podcast is on our website and lives forever. So Kenny, today you will introduce Maps, and then Maps will double check if you've done a good enough introduction and add anything that he feels we should know that may have developed in the past couple of weeks.
Wow. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I would love to introduce my good friend Masego Maponyane. He is a very well-known figure in South African popular culture. He has done some amazing work with philanthropy and with Investec, and of course you've seen him on TV. He's the nation's favorite Man Crush Monday. Here he is, Maps.
Was it a good job, Maps?
How'd I do?
Yeah, you know how I feel about that Man Crush Monday, but yeah.
I didn't get a chance to rehearse.
It's all good. Thank you very much for the introduction, Miss Marifi Winslow.
All right, you got to add anything about Kenny that we may not already know, Mr. Maponyane?
That you may not already know. Geez, I think you probably know a whole bunch about it. I mean, if you have amazing on that list, then you pretty much covered it. So
cornball.
So there it is. Just that's gonna be my corny input. That's about it. Too many Urkels on your team. That's about your
Winslow.
There you go. They get it. We don't. But it's okay. By the end of the 20 minutes, we'll all be in on this joke. With the two of you, just looking at the stuff that you put out there and what both of you are about, and Maps, we've had you on the show a couple of times, and Kenny from our chat last time, and just seeing what you guys are about, it feels like the two of you would be fantastic at a dinner table. And I wonder, when the two of you are at a dinner table, what is it that regularly comes up about an hour in? Because the first hour is kind of catching up, but then does it really start to become a DMC of note?
Do you know what? The reason her and I probably get along so well is because of what comes up. You can't predict what's going to come up next, but the best thing is that it's not a conventional sort of conversation. A lot of the stuff that comes up, it's it's refreshing in a sense that it's a lot of stuff that you can't usually talk to with the normal people that you would normally talk to, just because we have a lot of overlapping strange interests or same interests, which a lot of people don't really seem to concern themselves with. So I think you know when like for lack of a better phrase, sort of two nerds meet and they just strike a lot of matches on issues that interest them, and then they can just talk about whatever. And that's sort of what it's like with us, and we end up finding ourselves during conversations at dinner, trying to somehow save the world in about a 30-minute conversation.
Always, my goodness.
Just planning for that. But yeah, it's always a lot of fun. But in terms of topics, it's usually around social issues, design, heritage, Africa as a whole, conservation, preservation, and the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anyone is following Maps's work, I think you can recognize that he's not your average kind of media personality. He's got a lot to say. He's got something to say, which I think is one of the most important things about having a platform and having influence. For me, I mean, obviously he's my friend, but from a dinner table perspective, I mean, like he said, we end up trying to save the world, and we tackle a lot of issues that are discussed in public but don't quite always relate to the design sphere. And I think that's where we find this really nice place to meet. We always have to kind of remind ourselves to engage with other people at the table, because we tend to take over the conversation and have a lot to bounce off of each other. But it's good. It works.
What, and this might be a difficult question, what's been the most interesting point of conversation thus far in this collaborative experience of two people sitting at this dinner table?
The most interesting.
The best way to bring...
We had some very serious chats while you were visiting in New York.
Yeah. But I think when it came to African design, the best way to be two different architects that can build bridges to bring Africa to the rest of the world without it being appropriated by the world.
And avoiding this caricature of Africa. And I think that comes through very strongly in the work that both of us do. It's trying to make Africa seem like a real place with real people.
This is what you were speaking about in the interview that we did a couple of weeks ago, is translating an African narrative, but, you know, having it be told by people of Africa.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, you walk the streets of New York, you may see African references, but certainly at that point, it's something that's very diluted and distilled and sort of reproduced within a context that, you know, suits the people that are doing
Definitely.
It. And so when you begin to think about how you begin to cross that bridge.
Yeah. I think identifying the bridge becomes one of the major issues that people haven't started to tackle yet. They jump from here to there without really thinking about what are the actual issues, what is actually getting lost in translation. We have to identify that.
Because we get excited if Chris Brown wears like an African themed shirt.
Exactly. But what does that even mean?
Yeah. What does that mean?
Well, we'll have another segment to discuss that, but I mean, but it has a lot of like deep-rooted political meanings, and there's a lot of conversation happening right now in the States around African Americans versus Africans and whose culture belongs to who, and yeah, it's a lot. It's political. It's controversial.
So walking into this, I didn't say it was going to be the easiest conversation, but we're going to have it nonetheless.
Yes.
I want to go to the lines real quick. We've got someone on the line. Yo, what's happening? You're live with Kenny and Maps. Yo. You there? Dun-dun-dun. Producer Kat was shouting at me for not taking the call. Ah, there we go. Rockstar, do you want to pop those headphones on, Kenny?
They're just hiding behind her hair.
Jeez, okay. Jeepers. There we go.
They're hidden in the curls.
Hello?
They are hidden in the curls.
Which team are you on, actually?
And I was like checking the marks here, and I was thinking, that's okay. They are. Huh? There you go.
I hope you don't have any issues with her hair.
No.
Wow. Are we going to talk about this?
We're going to talk about it.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah, what's happening?
Mop.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Bro, like 2 years ago, you were on Cliff Central and you said something which you haven't delivered yet.
I'm gonna guess that this is the wait. This is the
Let the man talk.
The eggnog. Eggnog with Dede.
Yeah, the eggnog.
You won't believe it, man. But you won't believe it. We since last year, because remember we said we'd do it by the end of last year, right?
Yeah.
So since last year we've designed the bottles and everything, and Dede is very pedantic, so he's kept with the formula for the eggnog, because I thought we were ready. Because remember, I even said to you, we gotta package this and make it go. But he's like, I still want like 5 more flavors before we actually put it out. But you know, to actually compromise for that, we've gone into a couple dining businesses together where we've started like long table dinners and everything, and culinary experiences with friends and stuff. So the eggnog is still on track, and I'm so glad someone out there is keeping an eye on it.
Hey, number one fan, I still remember.
Nah, thanks, homie. I really appreciate it, man.
Power, there you go. Thanks for the call. Any other comments for Kenny and Maps?
Kenny, I like your Snapchat.
Thank you very much.
Traps.
And that's
Power, dude. Thanks so much for the call. Well, let's kick it off there then, because this is what we were speaking about on the ladies' roundtable a couple of minutes ago, and we spoke about it yesterday as well. What happened at Pretoria Girls High School, and really the national conversation that it seems so odd that it's only starting now, that national conversation, and it hasn't been discussed before. Or maybe it has been discussed before, but certainly with social media now, people are able to, I don't know, bring stuff more into a public platform. Yeah, you don't have to rely on somebody to report it.
Yeah.
So where do we sit on that spectrum?
Do you know, I've been fuming about this, like, since the story broke, since I saw it.
And you were on a plane, weren't you?
Yeah, I was on a plane. They have Wi-Fi on planes now. but I mean, I was just thinking about the fact that this is something I used to deal with in school. So when I left Cape Town, I was in grade something basic and moved to London, and I went to an international school in London, so that sort of thing wasn't really an issue. But when I moved back and went to Crawford and was identified in a way that I didn't self-identify, I was told that I was colored, and I didn't understand what that meant, and I kept having to explain I'm mixed, and the one place that became a real issue for me was with my hair.
Jeez, and this is at Crawford.
This
I wouldn't
was at
even
Crawford.
Thought that
yeah
I, yeah okay.
So I would have to straighten my hair to kind of tie it up in a pony or tie it up in a bun to be considered like decent and neat and tidy. And my younger sister, whose hair is much bigger than mine, had the same issues at Kingsmead. And I just think, do you know, how many years is it going to take for us to identify these issues and overcome them. Something as small as a child. This girl's 13 years old. And she is being forced into the space where she has to now become a revolutionary. Mm. Whereas white kids are allowed to be innocent and be children for as long as possible. But our young black kids are forced into the space of fighting for justice over something as basic as the hair that grows on their head. It blew me away. I've been raving about it to my mother, who is a black woman, the entire day. Like, it blows my mind.
Mops?
Yeah, I'm just glad that it's sort of finally out there. I remember in school it was the same issue, but obviously for the girls it's a much bigger issue. It wasn't really too much of a huge issue back at old boys' school, but I think it's always been an issue. It's always been there. It's always been quite oppressive, but I'm saying I'm glad that it's finally out there, is because before any of this, in terms of communication, just in general, if you had an issue with anything or anyone or any structure, whatever it was, you can only sort of send, you could write a letter, an opinion letter to an editor if you wanted to, you know, say something. And then it was sort of just like end there with a couple of people who saw it or whatever it was. Or you could maybe call into a radio station, but then that was also quite limited. But now, fast forward literally like 10 years later from the last point you could really do that, now there's such a mass penetration as soon as you speak about something that needs to be spoken about on social media, that it's a whole lot more effective. And it's about time. I'm glad that it's happening. 2016 is so woke. Like 2016
it's the year that people say no more.
Exactly.
And no more.
And it's all these things coming to light and everything really rearing its head, and all the true colors being shown. Is this is the year it's happening. I think it's going to continue, but this is definitely the catalyst once again with use of social media.
For sure.
Active citizenship to actually bring issues to light and take care of them and put them to bed.
Kenny, talk to me for a second about, we every day look at what's trending worldwide on Twitter, and then we look at what's trending in South Africa. And South Africa, when we look at what's happening on Twitter, it is woke. When we look at what's happening overseas, though, I mean, very often in the States, we'll find trending 5 years of One Direction or Zayn left or whatever it is. And it's always interesting for us to see the conversations happening overseas versus the conversations that are happening here. From your perspective, what space is South Africa in when it comes to having conversations that we need to progress as people before anything else, before even as citizens, just as humanity?
Okay, this is going to be, I don't know, it might be a bit painful for some people to hear, but I think one of the things I was most worried about coming back to SA for an extended period of time was the ways in which society handles issues of gender, of sexuality, and of race and of class. Yes, we talk about these issues, but it's such a painful thing for South Africans to talk about race and sexuality because they're so tied into culture, and culture is something that we are afraid to challenge. So personally, I feel like the conversations happening, particularly in the States, I haven't been back to the UK in a couple months, but particularly in the States, gender and sexuality is really number one on the list, and race is part of that. I mean, intersectionality is literally black Twitter right now. And that's coming up more and more with figures like Trump, who are so... he makes me nauseous.
Regressive, yeah.
Exactly. But those sorts of topics are so like widely spoken about and are part of everyday conversation, and people host events... people are talking. And I think if we can shy away from, first we have to acknowledge the way that culture informs and is connected to intersectionality, to patriarchy, to all of these social issues that we are trying to talk about but can't really identify the root of, because culture is kind of this thing that we don't poke holes in. And that for me is the major issue. In the States, there is no, I hate to say it like this, but there is no culture that informs the way we handle gender or the way we handle sexuality or the way we handle race. So those things are much more easily spoken about. Whereas here, if I'm challenging patriarchy, I'm challenging cultural norms and like cultural customs and things that are really integral to people's identities here that I think we need to start poking holes in. And I have this conversation often on Twitter, and people get really angry with me saying that we can't change or shift culture because that's how we hold on to our legacy and that's how we maintain our identity across generations and decades. And I understand that. I understand the need for culture preservation. That's what I do. But that's not to say that culture doesn't evolve and should evolve. The term culture itself means it's fluid, like it evolves with the people, and that's the major issue, something I'm really afraid of about being in South Africa.
Jess, you articulated that incredibly well, and you almost answered the question why people should spend certain amounts of time in different countries all around the world, because it changes your perspective.
Completely.
Yeah. And to somebody who spent their whole life in South Africa, that I would imagine what you just said would actually be a really interesting thing to maybe think about for the first time, because we live kind of within our own context, and very much according to what our cultural belief is. And perhaps in the South African context, we're not getting near, you know, the kind of conversations we should be having because of, you know, our cultural references or cultural beliefs. Yeah. Maps?
Jeez.
I mean, it's such an easy...
This is my favorite. Yeah, I could do this all day.
If anyone could solve the whole world with an answer, it was going to be you with this answer.
No. Honestly, I feel like it's just such a loaded topic that it's one of those things that you can't even really just briefly speak about or touch on. I mean, even what we're speaking about right now regarding hair...
It's so loaded.
What's so interesting for me about that is that even right now, making it all about hair, it's not even about the hair. It's so much deeper than hair.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, the hair is what's going to take precedent, but it's a lot deeper than that. And there's a lot more that needs to be spoken than that. But of course, that's a great trigger to get the conversation going. But some people are just thinking it's really just about the hair. There's this amazing artwork I'll actually post it a bit later on Twitter done by Lebogang Motaung, who's a local artist. She's about 21 years old, and she's done this amazing artwork with this woman who's got her braids sort of tied up, and in those braids, but it's like her natural hair braided up. I think it's all sort of dreadlock braids. And in those braids are symbols of handcuffs, hands coming through, white hands sort of sticking their hands out, barbed wire, and a couple other important imagery that is so thought-provoking in just one hairstyle. And what she's trying to tackle there are all of the societal supposed norms and what's pushed onto the hair of a black woman.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple sort of like mouths in there to represent sort of opinions, because as a black man as well, I know that our opinions are also quite oppressive to our black women too. You know, if that makes sense. You know, passing my opinion, just let the hair be.
Let it be.
Just let it be. Yeah. Just let them do whatever they want.
So let's begin to kind of wrap up as we open up a can of worms, and then we have to close them very quickly. But I think that maybe the best way to kind of frame the ending of this discussion will be around the word responsibility.
Ooh.
Because clearly the two of you feel like you have a responsibility to change humanity in a certain way and to take the space and time that we're in and to try and change that narrative. But not all young people share or come across sometimes as if they share that sentiment of trying to, and that's okay, because sometimes you're trying to figure out your own stuff before you're trying to change the world.
Yeah.
But this word responsibility, how in an ideal world would it resonate with young South Africans, young Africans, just young people of the world, if we wanted to create the most positive potential outcome with the time we have here?
Okay. So the way I look at my own responsibility is I can identify the ways that I've been privileged in this life, in this world, being a mixed race child growing up in particular places. And I always think about, what have I been given? What have I done with it? And what am I going to do with it? So if I have been given, let's say, the education that I have, it's my responsibility then to educate someone else. And if that means that on my website I'm posting articles that may be a little bit challenging, but I know that there are people reading them, then I will do that and kind of push the narrative a little bit further. If it means that I mentor 4 students through their studies, then I will do that. It's basically about thinking about what did I get? How am I going to pay it forward? And I think as young people, we don't realize how much impact we can have. And especially with social media, the platforms that we've been given and the influence that we have, especially people who are in the media or in the limelight or whatever, that is a special kind of platform that you can use. And it's the smallest things help. Just, I feel like me just verbalizing the things that I think about and care about inspires other people. I get emails on a weekly basis being like, I'm so glad that you said such and such and such because it resonated with me and it inspired me to do such and such and such. And that for me is everything. That is enough. But if I can push it forward, which is what I aim to do, I will do that. Hence me writing books.
Yeah, no. I can completely understand and resonate with that, but I think to even take it a step forward, it exactly is that. I think if I take a bit of an anecdote from my life, I had to, when I was finished with varsity, my parents were like, cool. Sorry, when I was finished with high school, my parents were like, cool, you're on your own. We've got our own issues. Make a plan. And I had to make a plan for myself to figure out what my path was going to be and how I was going to get myself to varsity and through varsity and all of that. But I went to a really good school. So I had the know-how, the initiative, and the drive to actually make a plan for myself and start to take care of myself and, go to varsity by doing a whole bunch of different jobs, coming up with different ideas for different sources of income. And I remember what it was like studying and working at the same time and putting myself through varsity to get to a point where afterwards, you're just proud and you're quite grateful of the fact that you were fortunate enough to have been through the system that you went to but also understanding that not everyone will be that lucky. Not everyone will be in a position where I could actually come up with a plan and perhaps know the right places to go, know the right people, or just have that drive in me. And that's why, the things now that I've tried to really be involved in philanthropy as much as possible, and I'm passionate about education and kids and everything, because that makes such a big difference. I'm passionate about mentorship. There's an amazing kid I've been lucky to have been mentoring for a little while now, and he just started his first semester at Harvard, and he's from Mlazi in KZN. And this kid's amazing. He's got a whole nother story. I'm not even gonna get into that. But we've started something. I've got a couple of friends. I'm involved in something called Bursary Network, where we've created this crowdfunding platform for kids to actually put up their profiles and hopefully raise enough funds through public donations of sorts.
It's whatever, really cool.
To actually raise enough funds for them to go to school, for people who, of course, struggle to get any access to funding for education, especially in light of Fees Must Fall, etc. Just the whole sort of fallism period. And with that, we have 350 donors now, just literally from having conversations like this. We've got 350 donors on the website who donate whatever they can with a minimum of 100 rand, and we've raised just under 400,000 rand, and we fully funded 10 students through varsity. And those are people who would never have, would have gotten a chance if it wasn't for that kind of a system in place, and if it wasn't my friends and I to come together and just be like, look, we also need to do something because we've been lucky to get to this point. We have the know-how, and there are a lot of desperate people out there who will never have the opportunity, who probably have solutions to a lot of our biggest problems. So let's actually give them the opportunity. And everyone just goes onto that website. If they need access to education, they've set up their profile, and hopefully people donate to them.
Power. When I asked about responsibility,
we went off.
Yeah, you did. But you really do live everything you speak. And that's what I think is so impressive, is that there's action involved, because it's one thing to say stuff. And social media is a great place to say stuff.
Yeah.
But the action is the important thing.
Yeah.
It's how one actually goes out and actions it in the world. The two of you are going to wrap this interview up. Producer Kat, is there anything else you wanted to get out of these two before I hand it over to them to wrap it up? I know they're interested.
No.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. Why?
We can just drop the mic. all right, the two of you, anything left to say? I mean, it's Tuesday now. There's, 3 months left of the year. Maybe people
Isn't
that
scary? It's already September.
It's
ridiculous.
Is it tomorrow?
No, it's 4 months. Am I?
Thursday?
Thursday. It's September.
Yeah, 4 months left of the year. 9, 10, whatever.
Yeah.
What's there left to say in terms of where people are at?
Wow.
I mean, for me, I'd just say let's keep building. You know, I think what are we now? We're 22 years old, just as a nation as a whole, and I think sort of approaching. I think we're having that early quarter life crisis now, where really things are just really starting to question everything. Mm. Our existentialism, really, and what does this mean, and what does that mean, and does it really mean anything, and have I considered this and that? Just as a country, everyone's starting to question everything, and it's probably going to be a long and elongated period, and then we'll finally come together. Hopefully, maybe I'm being too idealistic, probably, but we'll get to that point of an actual overlap where there's a whole lot more clarity and answers where we can move forward from and start to really be slowly start to fall back onto the right track as a people and get back in sync. And the people who don't want to stay on the same road will of course flock to wherever, but also like there's really no time to consider those people who aren't willing to shed off whatever weight they have, whatever excess fat they have, whatever excess luggage they have, to make the journey a whole lot easier in this vehicle that is South Africa, so that we can really make it all the way, so that it's not too heavy and so that our wheels don't fall off.
Yeah. I mean, these are growing pains, like Mavs is saying. We're still young. We have to go through this period of kind of like, this hurts a little bit. Let's talk about it. Let's ask some questions and get to the other side. But I personally, you've said everything. I personally want to extend support and gratitude to Zuleika Patel and all the girls at Pretoria Girls High School. We are with you. We stand with you. We support you.
Power. That's all there is left to say. If you want to connect with these two all day, it's Maps Maponyani on Twitter or Kenny.
Actually, on that, sorry.
Yes, tell me. Now he's settling into the chair. Yeah.
I'm it's funny that I'm talking about this because I probably shouldn't, but it's quite ironic. 3 weeks ago, I got a request to speak at their valediction.
Oh really?
Pretoria Girls High.
And now this has come to light, and it just makes things so much more interesting. You know, you can't just sort of have what you were going to speak about.
Mm.
And I think if they'll still have me, of course, after this.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of work to do as a school.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you'll find that they're not the only ones. Eh?
No. Not at all.
So,
because just today we were reading a little early on, there's a school in Port Elizabeth. Same thing's happening there. The Lawson Brown High School.
The St. Michael's in Bloemfontein.
There's so many schools where it happens, but she's the first to actually make a noise. Yeah. Make a statement, make a noise. And that's why I feel like we need to support her. Anyway, we're going on.
Yes, thank you very much.
That's a segment. Peace out. It's been real.
Thank you. Kelman on cliffcentral.com.